Hey, welcome back to our first episode in the Jolly Season! Yes, that's right, it's December and magic is falling from the sky and Jolly Rudy is here. As you will see in about 10 seconds, I mess up from the get-go in this episode and go crazy later on whilst Henry is taking us on a cruise around the world. Bye for now! Hello and welcome!
I'm supposed to say hello.
No, it's me.
Yes?
It's your episode.
It's me. Yeah, it's my episode. So you do the intro, so I say hi. I'm right, aren't I?
Just say hi. Just say hi.
Hi. Hey. Hello.
I had the whole bit prepared. And then I was like, wait, he's right.
Well, do it anyway. I already said hi.
I don't remember it anymore. I'm a proud Ravenclaw. Yes, that's right. I said that.
Damn. Memory truly do be fleeting. Well, all right. Well, in that case, hello to, well, my episode that I will do the intro to. And welcome to the Vagabond Dilemma. Now I forgot what I wanted to say. Well, it's a show about...
This episode's already off the rails.
Holy shit, it really...
Explorers, Lost Ones, yes.
Yes, thank you. Lost Explorers discuss their story and then come up with an alternative.
Come up with shit.
Yeah, come up with shit, huh? And fun fact, all of these are recorded from the toilet, so it's really, we're getting in character.
And as you might have noticed, we're really giddy today, because we have an unplanned special episode.
quite, but we'll only reveal it at the end.
There's a twister, like a smaller twister in the episode, which you will never notice, because we're sneaky like that. Unless you tell me.
Alright, well, Rudy? What's been going on with you, bud?
Oh, what hasn't been going on? I woke up today and I was like, I have so many questions. And at the end of the day, I'm like, what is a question?
Very philosophical today.
I've had adventures. I've been popping off.
You've been?
Looking at some asses. It's mostly Italian.
Excuse me.
I'm just being myself. I'm accepting my truth.
You're going to cop a feel next week? Feel like it's going that direction.
Well, okay, everybody's keep reminding me, right? And as we are recording this very late, I am 1 hour and 50 minutes away from being old again. But I feel young, you know?
You know, I wasn't going to bring it up, but...
No, we can't. It's fine. I already cried about it. It's fine. Bitch is fine. Bitch is fine.
Aw, poor little baby's gonna be, what, 23, 22?
No,
what is
I already
it?
Called my goblins, they danced around me, teased me, they cried with me, we popped some pills, did some bit of drugs, bit of alcohol.
Excuse me.
It's fine. How are you doing, Henry, huh?
Well, I got some rather sad news for you, unfortunately. This really does bum me out to say, and yet I must say it. Latvia did not win the Baltic Cup. They really didn't. They didn't, and I have to offer my condolences to you, because I know this hits you deep, especially so close to your birthday. I'm sorry.
I don't know if I'm crying or am I laughing at this point. Oh my god. Oh no!
They lost to Iceland.
They lost to Iceland. That's one thing I have heard about Iceland, that their football team is apparently good.
Yeah, I mean, if we want to get into this.
No, but like, apparently it's good, right?
They're like, okay, first of all, Iceland is like a really, really small country. Like, they have like 300,000 population.
Yeah.
And all of their, or most of their professional footballers also have like a day job, to put it. Like, you know.
Yeah.
But there are definitely some that are like top tiers of football. Anyway, a couple years back, they qualified for the World Cup, which was fucking insane. And... while they're not as good anymore, they're still, you know, they're still a respectable football team, I would say. And I always think it's cool when I see Iceland play.
I respect the homies. I've been to their land. It's very beautiful, but very depressive. So, I respect. I send energy to them, you know?
I guess they felt right at home at LAF, yeah.
Last time I sent energy, the freaking, what is it called? The Eyjafjallajökull exploded, but...
okay. Well, anyway, I mean, it's not that I have a problem with Iceland winning the Baltic Cup, it's just...
I'm sorry, Spain has a city named Bilbao?
Yes.
I'm sorry, this is very random, but I just noticed it.
Yeah. Man's opened the Google map, and that's the first thing that was noticed.
Yep.
Alright, well, either way, I guess moving on from the Baltic Cup, shout out to Iceland. Actually, they only won on penalties, you know, it was close. Nice try, Lav, yeah. You'll get him next time.
Don't we have a long episode today? I think you've been. I've been privy to this information.
Yes. Well, how did you know that, huh?
You told me before the recording.
Oh, yeah, I sure did. All right. Sure. If you're going to fucking railroad me into it, let's get it. Today, we got one of my favorite explorers to research as of yet. And one of the most interesting journeys. So I'm going to take my time, take you guys through it. So it's going to be a long one. Buckle up, sit tight, get a drink, get some food.
I'm excited.
Let's get in there, yeah?
Let's get it!
Oi.
Who are we talking about today, or is that later on information?
Our explorer today is Jean-François Degallot-Lapérouse.
Oui, oui, we have the French!
Yes, we have De France.
Oh, De France! Oh, wah, wah.
Anyway, we're going to be calling him Lapérouse, because that's how he was like mostly known, since his name is kind of a mouthful.
Oh, is his nickname?
And Lapérouse, just his last
La
name. Lapérouse! You know.
Lapérouse, come home! Yeah, you can't really shout the whole name.
I think it's Lapérouse, but just say what you want. Just call him LP if you
My want man's to say LP, yo! Big P on streets!
Alright, and he was born on the 23rd of August of 1741.
Oh, summer boy.
So, this was quite an eventful time, and I'll try to just go through it linearly. He was a French naval officer. After he was 15, he joined the Navy. And worked his way up through the years becoming naval officer.
15, that's really young.
Yes, I mean, I think that's probably just the legal limit when you could hop in. So he really got in there from a young age.
And if it would have been child slavery, you wouldn't know about it.
Well, I wouldn't. Child slavery? I mean, is it? You know what? Never mind. Let's not. Let's just focus on the story. Yeah. All right. So, as I said, he's really cool. I wrote this in my notes, so I'm repeating it again. I said this already. I'm getting ahead of myself and of my notes. It's crazy.
Wow.
And then at the age of 44 in 1785 is when he was appointed to lead in scientific explorations because he was a recognized naval officer.
Well, we love science.
So, let's... What was that?
We love science, but as French would say it.
I thought you were mentioning a fucking Italian city or some shit. I was like, huh?
Italy? I love Italy. Have I told you?
Oh, yeah. That's actually news to me.
Let's back to the P.
Yeah. To LP, our boy. All right. So, at the age of 15, he entered the Navy. At the age of 17, he went on a supply expedition during the Seven Years' War, which was a worldwide war between a lot of states. But relevant in this case is France and Britain, because they were fighting in colonial America. So he went on a supply expedition then to North America one time. And when he came back, he fought in the Battle of Quiberon Bay, which is...
Quivering Bay?
Quiberon Bay.
Oh, quite the bay where you quiver a lot.
Yes, it is. And this was a very important naval victory for Britain. And this battle was right off the coast of France, so that's kind of embarrassing. Everybody on land saw them eat shit.
Why was it so important for them?
Because it really killed the French Navy and made it so that the UK could not really be threatened by an invasion of their mainland.
Now that I look at the map, isn't it like, you see, like, at the coast of France, isn't that basically also the coast of England?
Well, okay, but it's like on the south side of Brittany, so it wasn't like at the doorstep of Britain. Okay. Either way, they sunk a lot of ships. They killed a lot of people, you know, as you do.
Yeah, the typical British.
And La Pérouse LP was captured. He was also injured, but he was exchanged later, and fought in the war again. You know?
Oh my God, the homie's straight back at it.
And then, more interestingly, so after that war, he got like promoted to naval officer, and as a ship commander in 1778, he fought against the English in a war. Won a couple battles, you know. Did generally well for them. Remember what war that is, Rudy?
7 Years' War.
No. But nice guess. 1778. Don't you remember what
1778?
Happened?
1778. Yes. What was I doing? Probably burning stakes.
Well, you were probably not the only one.
Yeah. I'm thinking. Did women have rights back then?
Well.
No.
Not really.
Okay, so the fight was the War of Roses.
The War of Roses? Wasn't that like the English Civil War in like the 15th century?
Then it wasn't the War of Roses. Whatever, was it?
Anyway, yeah, it was the American Revolution.
Oh, fuck, I know about American Revolution. And, they can revolve around themselves as long as they want. I don't care.
Okay. But this was when France joined America to fight the English.
The French and the Americans together?
Yes. And unfortunately, kind of, England got broke and France also got broke from that. So the real winner was America.
Of course.
Well, after that, so he was quite successful. In 1785, he's appointed by Louis XVI to lead French...
We're going off the rails so much.
In 1785, he's appointed by Louis XVI to lead French scientific exploration around the world, which, by the way, a lot of countries were doing around this time. They were sending like people to really map out and, you know, really thoroughly explore. I mean, it's not the earlier; it's like on the later stages of that. Like, the age of exploration is like in the 1600s, but this is like late 1700s.
Okay.
This is, I would say, more like specific explorations for like mapping out specific areas and stuff.
Okay.
Like, it was more specific than just discovering new areas.
Yeah, because they now know what they know and what they don't know, and so they want to map out the things they don't know. So they're basically like, go there, we know where, but we don't know what's there, and then you go there.
Yeah, that's basically it. So the... correct and complete maps of the Pacific, establish new trading outposts, open up new maritime routes, and enhance France's scientific knowledge and prestige. So, he went in well prepared with modern instruments and knowledge on how to avoid scurvy, because...
gun.
Yeah, sure. Because when he was a naval officer, he actually had to abort one mission because his crew got scurvy. But, you know, live and learn he did. Okay. So, for anybody at home who wants to open Google Maps to follow this journey, otherwise I'll describe it the best as I can.
I've been
but
told
it's quite
this
the journey.
Be quite the maps-heavy episode.
Yes, you have been told, and you remember. So, with a crew of 220 men, he left Brest.
220 men?
Yes.
Left Brest. There's a.
He left
there's,
Brest.
There's a...
Yeah.
Did they go to the other side? You know what I mean? 220 men. They're like, well, fuck Brest, if you know what I mean.
They did leave.
They
Brest
are French
and...
too, so like, I mean, we boys get it on.
You know, and after a long ship journey, spoiler alert, they did not find Brest back. If you know what I mean, huh? Anyway, so they left Brest, which is, for context, a city in the like western point of Brittany, France, with about 220 people. They sailed straight south to Chile, around the Cape Horn.
We had an episode about that.
Yes, we did. And they settled, or they stopped in Chile for a bit to check out the operations there, check what they were doing, you know, what they had.
Just checking out, just homies popping in, being like, yo, you know, what's the yeah. good stuff?
I guess this was kind of normal. I think Spain and France were also allied at the time, so I guess it was just fine. Because Spain also was fighting Britain around the same time, and they also lost.
Oh my god, so they're like anyway. Homies in vain.
Yes, so they were doing that, and then after a while, they hopped off, went to Easter Island, so straight west, Hangaroa, in the South Pacific Ocean. Okay. So, you know.
It's where you get head.
Yes, that's with the big heads.
My homies anyway, with 220 men were getting some heads, all right?
Oh yeah, they were. They left breads and they breast. So they left breast. They left breast and they found head. Anyway, I do find it pretty impressive, like how they could navigate so specifically to like such tiny islands. It's pretty cool.
Well, if you have a map, can't be that hard.
Well, I don't know. How about we drop you off in Chile? See how you do.
Easy money.
Anyway, from Easter Island, they chilled there for a bit. They went on northwestern to Hawaii, to Maui, one of the islands there.
Maui!
Maui, yeah, where, and he was the first European to set foot onto Maui. They had, like, people had already discovered the Hawaiian Islands, but he was, like, the first one to, specifically Maui.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
So, after that, they went straight north, up to Alaska. They landed at, like, the border between Alaska and Canada, but at the, like, sea area of it. Mm-hmm. About at the height of Mount St. Elias.
They really did a U-shaped turn around the ocean, basically, from Brest yeah. to, like, to Alaska.
Yeah,
these did. Guys were smart, honestly. Like, cause oh wait, no, I was gonna say like, cause all the other explorers, they were like, we have to find the northwestern passage. It's all these guys are like, fuck cold, right? But then I was like, wait, there's poles on both sides of the planet, so around Cape Horn is also cold.
Yeah, probably. Also, you know, northwestern passage. It wasn't completed back then yet, like the actual voyage. But
I forget about Davy Jones chilling there. Never mind.
It would have been a lot more efficient to go to Alaska. But anyway, so they're in Alaska, they laid contact with the Tlingit people. But unfortunately, they also, as they were discovering, like, or exploring the coasts, they were in, like, smaller boats. And 21 of them got lost in rapid currents and ate shit and died.
What the fuck? What? So now there's, yeah. 21. So it's, 21, you
now
said?
There's only... So, yes.
199 men. That sounds like a good book, huh? Like a good fan yeah. fiction.
21 down, 199 to go.
Are these the ones who, well, okay. Should I go for this joke I'm thinking?
Well, don't wait too long because it's a long episode and we're already, I think,
running late. I know what. Go,
hit him with
go.
It.
No. Maybe they tried to balance out the bottom versus top scenario. And there were too many all bottoms right. and they were to tops on the ship, so they're like, 21 of you. Okay. Rapid currents.
They wanted to balance the books a bit.
Yeah.
Alright. Well, alright. From Alaska, they sailed down the Western American coast, like keeping on exploring the environment and the coast, mapping it out. Checking out some Spanish settlements, as the Spanish were in California at the time. Mm. So they stopped in California, and they noted the conditions to be quite bad.
Wow.
To be like slave plantations, which was frowned upon by them.
The French at it again! You can't leave the French with any free will! They just take it away! French? Oh, no, bad boys!
It was the Spanish. It's the Spanish.
The French were just there checking it out. French boys, my apologies. You good boys. Spanish, fuck off.
Real and based. Okay, anyway. Then they left again. From California, they went straight to Macau.
Huh?
Which I gotta say, you could have planned that route a little better, because okay, they Macau passed straight by Hawaii.
China?
Yes, Macau, as in they sailed straight across the Pacific, past Hawaii is probably a supply run, to Macau, where, as the real businessmen that they were, they sold Alaskan furs for big money.
Well, I mean, it's the casino land, so it's just yeah.
Truly, even back then.
You know what this already sounds like? Your average gay squad cruise around the world.
Yeah, can you already see them arrive in Macau with the furs draped around their shoulders?
Yes, honestly, I can. Because, like, look at the routing. It's all scenic. It's all experience. It's like, you know, California. Now we go to freaking Macau. We're going to spend some money. Honestly, you know what? This LP just went to... He went to whatever was the what is King Louis, right?
Yeah.
And he basically, because we gays, we know how to talk. And he was like, you know what? I won the wars. I've done things. Just, you know, I want to take a break with my 219 homies.
Let me live my best gay life.
Yes. So, like, cruise ship, give us a ship. We can explore. Just tell us where to. But, like, yeah. Makes sense, doesn't it?
Alright. Yeah, sure it does. Yeah, that sounds very logical. Anyway, after Macau selling the furs, they briefly stopped in Manila in the Philippines as well. And then they went north. They set off to explore the Northeast Asian coasts. They bumped upon the island of Jeju, South Korea, where they were the first Europeans to set foot on there on purpose. As what had happened years prior is that Dutch people shipwrecked on there. So they weren't planning to go there, but then nature really said, you don't have a choice, bud.
Ay, 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 ay.
All right. And then they went past South Korea, up to Sakhalin, which is an island off of the Russian coasts, north of Japan as well, where they met the Ainu people, which are the indigenous people to north of Japan and the Sakhalin Islands and the Kurils. They were very friendly. They helped him out, gave him a map of Hokkaido, the northern Japanese island.
Oh, that's nice.
And basically, they helped them sail past the Kurils to Kamchatka.
They went to Kamchatka? And
yes, that was like as far north as they went, basically, which is pretty far north.
Okay.
That's a good question. That's a really good question you posed there. Unfortunately, we will never know. I just want to give a quick shout out to the Ainu people, because they were really cool. And unfortunately, much like a lot of other indigenous people across the world, they got very oppressed when Japan later colonized the northern island.
Japan is on the train too? Oh no.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was, I think they saw it as, like, part of their lands, but they never really formally settled there until, like, later. And they were treated as second-class citizens that I knew.
Hi, Japanese, I knew you were shitheads too. Well, anyways.
After just sitting around in Kamchatka, they got orders to investigate British settlements in Australia.
Orders?
Orders, yeah. I don't know. I also don't know exactly how they got there, but
it's just a small Russian boy running across the whole of Russia from France. Just, fuck, блядь, сука, I have to get there in time, because I heard they're in Kamchatka. Ah, run, run!
Yeah. Well, I assume they had some type of messaging system, so maybe it was just some lonely Russian boy having a sprint. Anyway, so they went to investigate the British settlements, and as you know, the British and the French were enemies. But they were quite friendly here, you know, they were hanging out, having a good time. They actually helped each other out, built some churches together, you know. Classic. Good old Christian
boys. This seems still like a gay story. Gay people are like, you know, one thing that won't piss off straight people? Let's build churches.
Unfortunately, on the way to Australia, they had another small mishap. They passed by Samoa, and when they went on land, the indigenous people really said no and killed 20 of the crew. But the rest made it down to Australia. By the way, they didn't all instantly die. Some people were still on board and died in Australia.
The true story is they traded twinks with indigenous people.
What do you mean they traded it? They had a net loss, though, of 20.
Yeah, well, they had too many twinks. And then these indigenous people were like, look at these twinks. And then La Perouse was like, go live your life. Or maybe those 20 people were like, you know what? These people on this island, queen, walking naked, this could be a paradise for us. And they were like, tell homies at home that like, we got killed or whatever. The indigenous people ate us. And they're gonna eat us, but you know, in the end.
Okay. All right, so they also hung out in Australia for a bit, you know, British, French, best friends. Did some geological environmental explorations as well. And then in March 1788, he once again got orders to check out the Solomon Islands in New Caledonia and then return to France. But as fate would have it, he never returned to France. He never returned to Brest.
Well, as fate would have it, who would return to Brest once turning the side up? But,
so true.
Okay, but like, wait, just to recap quickly. Okay, I'm gonna try to remember, and you correct me if I miss something, right? They start at Brest.
Yes.
Then they go around Cape Horn.
Yes.
Then they go to Easter Islands.
Yes.
Then Hawaii.
Yes.
Then to Alaska.
Yep.
Then to California.
Yep.
Then to Morocco. What's the
name? Yeah, then to Morocco.
No, Macau.
Macau, yeah.
Then to South Korea.
Well, technically, quickly by Manila as well, but
that direction ends up in Kamchatka.
I mean, all right. Yeah, sure. You know what? Yes.
And then from Kamchatka, they go to Australia.
Yes, they took, I didn't really say this, but they took like the route past Hawaii, I think. Or was it past Hawaii? Maybe it was just past Samoa this time, down to Australia.
Okay. And then up in Australia, and then, there's a coral sea. They got lost in the coral sea?
They did, but before we go to the thingy, I want to have a quick fun fact section here.
Oh, go ahead.
Because there is quite a funny fact.
Yes.
La Perouse had a couple of places named after him because he was, just for context, a very respected explorer. I think Louis XVI, even on his execution day, the last thing he said apparently was, is there any news from La Perouse? Because he still wasn't found.
Okay, so Louis XVI was basically his lover at home. That's the true story.
So true. Anyway, they had a very interesting number of places named after him. Jesus, I'm sorry. He had a very interesting number of locations named after him with some of the places he visited and some not so much. So, I want you to guess how many things, how many geographic locations were named after him.
Like, okay.
Not that many, but it's also not little.
Well, that could be range from like one to okay.
Just take a guess.
Do I have one guess only?
You get three guesses because I'm feeling generous today.
15.
Almost. You want me to say up or down? All right, I'll just say down.
Almost. Then 14.
Yes, correct.
Ayo!
You're so good at guessing.
Yes, I am. I honestly, like, how... I'm on a roll today.
It's truly magical how you just know that sometimes.
It is.
Anyway, some of the places named after La Perouse, I'll name some. So, the La Perouse Strait between Sakhalin and Hokkaido. So where the Ainu guided him. The La Perouse suburb in Sydney, which is presumably where they were chilling in Australia. Mm-hmm. La Perouse Bay in Maui. Mm-hmm. La Perouse Bay in Easter Island. And there's some more, but here's two interesting ones. La Perouse, a mountain in New Zealand, even though La Perouse never went to New Zealand.
What?
They really had a shout-out for the homie.
The same LP?
Yeah, yeah, it should be. Because this was on, like, the page that was named after my friends. It should be the same guy. Maybe it was just a shout-out to a homie, you know.
Just shout-out to a homie.
And then the last one, which is really cool. The La Perouse crater on the moon.
Huh?
He got a crater on the moon named after him.
Gays can have craters on moon? Why? I don't know now, this. I want a crater on the moon.
It's now canon that he's gay?
Yes. Well, I want a crater on the moon.
I mean, how about you go exploring? Maybe you'll get one.
That's so... Also, did they even know that moon exists as a ball up in space?
Definitely, yes. I'm pretty sure they already discovered Jupiter and shit at this point.
Well, fuck all. Maybe he has a crater on Jupiter, too.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure.
Gas, right? So you can't have a crater. He has a cloud in Jupiter. This cloud will name La Perouse.
The La Perouse gas cloud. Beautiful. Anyway, that was it. And yeah, so he disappeared in 1788 after they set out from the towards the Solomon Islands. And was never seen again. Whoa!
It's easier.
So, Rudy, you know what happened?
I mean, okay, but besides this being a gay cruise and they were just like, you know, as any gays, after a while, like, we worked hard until at one point we were like, Mama, no. No.
Right. And that just happens to be when you're in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah, and we're like, it can kick, like, you know, the beauty of it, it can kick at any point in your life, and then you're just like, you know, I don't owe you nothing. I could just jump on board, bye. But no, that's not what happened. I know exactly what happened. Yeah. So you see Coral Sea, right? The thing I was talking about. Well, I assume it's because there's a lot of coral reefs there, right?
Right. I mean, that's probably where the Great Barrier Reef is, I think.
Great Barrier Reef, exactly. Like, I assume the Great Barrier... That's like...
Oh,
that's
no.
Like, listen, that's exactly where a lot of fish live, right? Like, it's abundance of life. It's basically like the...
No.
What are you doing? What's happening?
It's me, Rudy from the future! And what was happening was Henry's internet died. And while Henry's internet died, I went freaking crazy. So I have inserted some, well, clips from what happened while Henry was away. And you can listen to that, and then we'll resume the episode right away. Enjoy my madness.
What is happening?
Ha la 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 la.
Should I start waxing? You know, it's interesting how, basically, if you can smell it, it's already inside you. And he has left the chat, just like all men. That's what they do, they leave. You know, Mama, it's fine. It's we deserve better. Do we need straight men? Yeah, we do. Because honestly, I wouldn't look so smart if not for them. You know what? Shout out to the straight men, huh?
Nasty little hobbit says nasty, nasty, the ring is mine and we'd never reach the Mount of Mordor.
Okay, right. So Henry has been revived and where was I? Oh yes, so Coral Sea, right? Coral Sea, basically.
Sorry.
It's fine. It's Coral Sea, Great Barrier Reef, right? A lot of fishes, a lot of fishes. And yes, I know you're listening, Mom, I say a lot of fishes. Deal with it.
You're sleeping with the fishes.
Exactly. Great Barrier Reef. It's kind of like, it's like the metropolis of sea. It's like the New York of the sea. Right?
Uh-huh. Okay. In
well,
what
it's like,
way?
It's like very dense. It's like a big city. If fish would have cities, Great Barrier Reef would be like New York. You get what I'm saying?
I guess. It's just densely populated.
Yes. Okay. And what does every big city have? Gangs, crime, thugs. Right?
Uh-huh.
But fish are very decent beings on this earth, and they have laws, and so these thugs cannot be thugs because they are laws, right? But nothing says nothing prevents those fish from killing men, not other fish, right?
Right.
So there's this like there's imagine there's this shark area, shark neighborhood, right? In the reef. And they're like, two-finned Johnny, I wanna be a thug, right? but I can't kill fish because the laws. And then look at that, La Perouse.
Yeah,
they're swimming across the sea, up like, let's kill some. But you know what sharks can do? It's a big ship. So they call their big cousin. You know who the big cousin is? Big cousin of the Toothin Johnny.
Well,
it's the one from Mariana Trench. It's the Megalodon.
Okay.
And do you know what a Megalodon is?
It's a big shark.
It indeed is. It's like in dinosaur era they had those sharks, and it's basically literally just a humongous shark, right? Well, some stupid people don't believe they exist anymore, but we all know that some of them do. Anyways,
Boo.
So Megalodon, they call a Megalodon. It's like, ah, cuz. There's this
Lapis. He has asthma, it seems.
We kind of have to like knock him down just for the fun of it. And Megalodon is there like, well, guys, I don't know. I come out like once in 5 years, and this is what I get. Family reunion, and I have to be this big bad shark. What if I just want to be a florist, huh? What if I want to grow seaweeds? Nah, it's gonna be fun. Seaweed. Let's go. So the Megalodon goes and rams the ship down in the coral sea.
Even though he doesn't want to do it. Can I just say?
Yeah?
If laws stopped crime from happening, then we would live in a utopia right now. So. I think your sharks are actually law-abiding citizens.
Can't we?
I guess so. Well, this poor Megalodon really was held at fin points. You hate to see it.
Honestly.
I have a bit of a more wholesome version of this.
Yeah?
Well, I guess wholesome in this so far as they still die, but... anyway, they were sailing above the New York of the sea, and the shark saw them, and were like, hey, look at those, some friendly faces, let's invite them down here. So, well, up they go. They invite them now. The crew says, well, of course we'll go down. But unfortunately, the French, having not done a lot of research into naval-like diving, they just dive straight down. And unfortunately, because they aren't prepared, their heads just straight up explode because of the pressure difference.
This is a wholesome ending?
Yeah, the sharks were trying to be friends. But
how do they even get to that kind of pressure? Like, do they do the bags and then dive?
Well, they just go keep swimming, and it's like, oh, I'm feeling a little lightheaded, but hey, let's keep her running, you know?
Lightheaded? I don't think you feel lightheaded when your head's about to implode.
I feel a little heavy-headed, but hey, let's keep her running, you know?
Jesus, fuck.
Or a different story. Here's another idea. You know, you as a lover of ghost stories, clearly, as evidenced by all of our stories in this podcast.
Yes.
The 40 dead crew members came back to life.
Excuse me, 41. Get it right.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm actually in shambles for this. The 41, shout out to the one extra that I forgot, crew members that died, they rose up as ghosts, and they met the crew while they were near the Solomon Islands and said, hey, buddies, how about some solidarity here? Either all of us live or all of us die. And this is kind of a one-way street.
And La Perouse was like, it's been a while, you know? Okay, fine. We get it. Pop off, queen. The 41 bottom rose.
It's time to head to bed, La Perouse said, and they all died on the spot, became ghosts.
Maybe Davy Jones was in need of a new crew.
And a new crew he got. After that, they sailed straight to the Northwest Passage.
I just like this whole idea that they were waiting for this one spot, and then they're like, now we rise as 41. It's like, it's also like one to two. First 21, right, or 20, whatever, died in Alaska, and then later on, a completely different part of the world than the other half, and then they somehow still found each other, were waiting for that one spot, and then they were like, it's time.
Yeah, they reunited as ghosts and said, you know, we matter too.
Ghost rights matter, you hear it here
exactly.
First.
Exactly. Do you got something else, Rudy?
You know, like, if you have a ghost in your house, well, first of all, treat them nice. Because, I'm going to be honest. As a ghost, I could do anything to you. I could shove two fingers up your every hole I would want, right?
Jesus fucking Christ.
Exactly. Now, think about that. I would be nice to any ghost I would not see, right? Because, why wouldn't you be? They were human beings at some point, too.
Aren't ghosts non-material?
Well, you can ask yourself that when they shove two fingers up your ass.
Yeah, where you're getting stuffed like a turkey.
Not even that. Huh? It's even more gross if, like, imagine, like, I don't know, your nostrils. Like, a ghost picks you up by your nostrils.
Yeah. Well, getting stuffed like a turkey, like I said.
Oh my god. Well, morale of the story is, actually two morales of the story. First of all, at least there weren't Italians at that time, right? No Italians were hurt in this.
Yeah, and that's a moral somehow.
Second of all, they never returned the breast.
Yeah, that was my third.
They lived the life of the shaft, you know? And they never once did they waver and went back to breast.
Yeah. Maybe that's how they met their demise. They announced to Louis XVI, "We will not return to breast."
Maybe and he Louis was a jealous lover and he killed him. He was like, you know, maybe he was killed. A good aimer, and he took, like, he stood there at the shores of Brest, aimed a humongous cannon, and he was like, "That's for my broken heart, you fucks," and launched a single cannonball, which spiraled across half of the world, and, like, one of, like, the freaking the cheating La Perouse, as he was, right, was on a ship, cheating again on top, like, I don't know, crow's nest. With one of his many fucks, and then he's like, "What is that shining in the distance?" And immediately, a single cannonball strikes the mast. The mast goes through the whole ship because of the whole weight of it, and the ship gets sunken in like minute max. And somewhere down inside the world, Louis XVI was a single tear rolled down. He was like, "And now, there's nothing left on this earth." And then, just to throw in some drama, because they're all dramatic, right? He's like, "Oh, has anyone heard any news from La Perouse?" And then they chomp his head up.
Maybe that's why La Perouse was his lover, because he was really accurate at shooting
nothing
his
more
shot.
From me, Judge. Is Henry gone again?
Yeah? Huh?
No, okay, easy, okay.
Did you not hear what I said?
No,
this is
you
such
cut
a
out.
Dramatic. This episode really is one of like disaster class, basically.
It's fine. It's fine, Henry. It's fine.
Anyway, I said maybe that's why he was his lover, because Louis the 16th was so accurate with shooting his shot.
That's a good one. Well, anyways, well, I think it's time to turn the page. No.
Yes, it is. And
we turn the page, and what do we see on the next page? The end.
We look in the mirror, and all we see is two cheeky buggers looking back.
Well, I see some cheeks, but mine are buggers.
I think you're in reverse looking in the mirror. anyway.
Oh, should we reveal the bit for this episode?
Well, let's do it after the resolution.
Oh, there's resolution too. Oh, yeah, let's go. Resolutions,
yeah.
Yes!
Yeah, there's a resolution.
I looked at the page, but I saw the end because it's so big written, right? But I didn't look at the page next to it still that we turned. There's also resolution. I'm sorry, I'm blind.
Yeah, you are blind. You might want to get that checked out, buddy. Hey, are you okay? Are you okay?
Resolutions!
What kind of bit this is. Anyway, so there were several search parties. And they did come back successful. Each one found a little bit. And then in the end, even as recently as 2005, they were able to piece together the story.
Wow.
So in 1825, a search party arrived at the Solomon Islands. And they found that the native had some of the French swords and ornaments. And even like a medal that said Paris on there. Which, you know, the native said that they were recovered from a shipwreck. And then after more research, more search parties, the final conclusion, final story is both of the ships that were left on the expedition wrecked in the reefs of the Vanikoro, which is in the Solomon Sea. You know, corals and such. Sucks to suck, I guess. They wrecked. Some of the survivors came on top of the island and were killed by the natives. But there were some survivors, allegedly. And this is kind of a funny story. The British also went looking, and they saw smoke signals from one of the islands. But they thought they did not recognize them as, like, rescue, like, smoke for rescue, let's say.
Yeah.
And they just ignored it, went home, and they were never found.
That's a British humor for you.
It's like, could that be them? Let's leave.
Yeah, honestly. Such a me vibe, too.
Well, that was it from our boy LP La Pérouse.
Quite a fun story. I see why you like this.
Yeah, I mean, he was a funny one.
That's a funny one, eh? What's the deal with the funny ones?
What's the deal? Yeah, anyway, so the bit of the episode,
the bit revealed,
is that we had once previously recorded this episode. But unfortunately...
So the full story goes, we recorded this exact story, right? And then, after recording, Rudy looks at the recording time, and Henry's like, oh, we actually did pretty good, like 45 minutes. I'm like, Rudy, no, we did 17. And so I was like, oh, fuck. So everything went wrong. My recording system, I don't know why. It's like, it compressed the speed and used the wrong mic. Everything went wrong. So I was like, Henry, we're going to do some acting. We're going to re-record.
Yes, so we're re-recording this about 1 week later from the original record. We did write down some of the bits we did. Not all of them.
No, honestly, I think we definitely got even more bits in than we actually originally had.
Yes, we did.
Maybe we should re-record every sounds... episode.
Yeah, I don't know, bud. some of the, like, stuff we say is a bit meta-commentary on ourselves, basically, so you might have noticed that.
Yeah, because when I feigned surprise, of course I knew the whole route already.
The internet disconnecting was not part of the bit. That's just some really shitty thing that happened. So, I hope that doesn't fuck up the episode too much, but there you go, people. It's been a rowdy one, so I hope you enjoyed.
I actually really enjoyed the vibe of this episode. I honestly did.
So, people, if you want to contact us, first and foremost, we have a semi-inactive Twitter where if you send us a DM, we'll eventually see it.
Checking this because I haven't looked at our Twitter in a while.
Somebody liked your tweet, and that was the only interaction with our account recently. So,
huh?
That's right.
Italian?
Italian? I don't think it was. But shout out to that one person that liked. I would check right now, but my internet's still down. So, anyway. If you don't want to use Twitter, and honestly, neither do I, send us an email at thevagabonddilemma@gmail.com. Send us some feedback, whatever you like. Although now that I think about it, I haven't checked that in a while either. So,
oh my god, maybe we have like actually something we just don't know about it.
Maybe. If you sent in something before and we haven't done anything with it yet, I sincerely apologize. It's my
fault. Don't forget that we're here every Wednesday.
Yes, we are here every Wednesday. And if you want some more pastel feedback, then, Rudy,
go to my back, which is Instagram. And it's 3 zeros, RUDYS 3 zeros. So, 3 zeros, my name, Rudy's 3 zeros. Go for it, champs. Get in there. Get in those DMs. Slide in. Full confidence. Blast feedback. Criteria. Shit. Points. Suggestions. Anything. I need it all.
Right. Thank you for listening, everybody. We hope that despite the troubles, you still enjoyed and maybe because of the troubles you enjoyed. Either way, have a nice rest of your day, and we'll see you next week, hopefully.
Arrivederci!
Bye.